Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a better afternoon than that. My wife is here with me, and the last time she was on this campus was when I graduated from the seminary in 1988. I think that's about 35 years ago. And she's with me. Kathleen, would you please stand? I want to give God the praise for your support in my life. Hallelujah. And what a beautiful picture you are today. I wish you could see the view of what I am looking at right now. What a privilege to stand before these wonderful graduates and to be the speaker to say something into your life before you leave this campus. But I want you all to know, graduates, that you are not here by yourself. You had a lot of support to help pay that last tuition bill. Can somebody say amen about that? Amen. You turned in your last paper, and whether AI supported you or not, you are here at the finish line. And I give God the praise for the support team, your spouses, your parents, your siblings who pushed you forward. And graduates, I'm going to ask, because we are celebrating you, I get it. I want to ask that you put your hands together for all of the support team that is here. Can you put your hands together and praise God for them? Amen, amen. What a beautiful picture. If your neighbor is asleep, give him a nudge and say, you haven't finished graduating yet. To Dr. Taylor and your administrative leadership team, to the faculty and staff of this august university, to Pastor Anderson and this beautiful congregation, to the family and friends of these accomplished graduates of 2025. You will never pass this way again, so enjoy it. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone here to turn and smile at your neighbor, whatever you're working with, whether it's 30 or 2. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I thank God for you today. Amen. I'm so glad that there is joy in God's house. If we can't have joy in here, how can we expect it to have it out there? It's an honor to speak today because I hear the rumor is that you are world changers. Really? And for a few moments, I want to praise God for your accomplishments and your milestones. And I want to encourage you for a few moments as I talk about living a life and having no regrets. And so our scripture reading was read eloquently earlier, and I'm just going to review and read it again as they put it on the screen for emphasis. The King Solomon said, the words of the wise, the words of who, everybody? Thank you for talking back to me. Preaching is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. I thought the graduates at least say amen to the scripture there. But Solomon went on to write. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Father, would you woo us by your riveting presence just for a few moments? Captivate us with your Spirit's power. And bring us to the understanding that we are all subjects given time for loan. Lord, would you bless your word, these beautiful words, these wonderful words of life. And please, Lord, may we see Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. I would have, I could have, and I should have. These are often the words of conviction, wished to please, summarized by a life lived longing for do-overs. Have you ever wanted to do life over again? People wish they could turn back the clock and have redos. And I am grateful today that Paul tells us we can redeem the time. Yes, we can go back and try to make things right that we messed up. We can apologize when people needed forgiveness. We can forgive them so that they can forgive us. People do wish they could turn back the clock on life, but I love what Solomon says here. Solomon tells us that since we're all candidates for the cemetery, without the privilege of cancellation, once life is over, graduates, we cannot redo life. We can place anything on our headstone that may tell a lie. We can cover our empty living. But what really matters is what we take to the grave and what we will come up from the grave with. Can you say amen? So let's step into the twilight of the king's life. Let's enter into Solomon's courts and learn something today from the wisest man who ever lived. As he reflects back on his life, I want you to understand that Solomon wants to save us from the heartache he experienced. Solomon doesn't want us to repeat the same things and the same sins and the same failures. So Solomon wants to testify to you graduates and to you family members today. And so Solomon penned Ecclesiastes, not as a triumph, but as a tear-stained confession. His life of regrets bleed from every verse in Ecclesiastes. He writes not as a scholar, but as a survivor of self-inflicted soul starvation. Ecclesiastes resonates with our modern obsession with image and selfies and influencers and digital attention. and performance. Let's listen to him. Let's pay attention to his testimony, because Solomon can save us some tears. He can help us avoid the landmines of heartache. You need to know that Solomon's reign began with divine favor. Solomon began his kingship surrendered to the Lord. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 says, Solomon loved the Lord. And he had divine favor because his heart was given over to the Lord's commands. And he walked in the way of his father David. One day, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And the Lord said to Solomon, "What do you want me to do for you?" My goodness. Can you imagine the God of the universe? Endless space. The creator of it all showing up at your address and asking you, "What do you want him to do for you?" My goodness, that is amazing to me. And Solomon responds to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I didn't ask for all of these people. I don't know how to lead them. I am like a child, God. I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need help in directing all of these people." And the Bible says it pleased the Lord. And the Lord responded and said to him, "Solomon, you didn't ask for fame or fortune. You didn't ask me to take your enemies out. You didn't even ask me to give you long life. So guess what, Solomon? God says, I'm going to give you wisdom and understanding, and I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you fame and fortune along with wisdom and understanding." What a God. What a God. He closed the dream by giving him a conditional admonishment, that if Solomon walked in his ways and kept his commandments, he would lengthen his reign. As we reflect, as we hear Solomon's testimony today, stay with me. Somewhere between the glory of him building the temple in Jerusalem and the indulgence of materialism, and the whispers of foreign wives, Solomon's heart turned away from God. The man who once asked for discernment began chasing pleasures, his wealth piled high. He had palaces gleaming, yet inside he grew hollow and empty. Am I speaking to somebody today? This is not just ancient history, brothers and sisters, graduates. It is a mirror to every soul today who has traded sacred purpose for empty pursuits. This is the testimony of a king who comes to us this morning with three phases of a testimony that screams to us in the 21st century. And so we will live life with no regrets. Solomon, would you testify for us? His first testimony is simply this: avoid the folly of idolatrous acquisition. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, real life, depth, and meaning of purpose doesn't come from the pursuit of fame and fortune, or how many likes you have, or how many people are following you, or the pursuit of stuff. I'm not trying to rain on your joy parade. I'm just trying to help you have joy by avoiding what Solomon went through. Stay with me. Solomon had it all. Yes, he did. His record of blingonomics is epic. 1 Kings chapter 10 said he had more money than anybody else. He had 10,000 servants. His palace, the throne, the stairs to his throne was made out of ivory, inlaid with gold. He had ships and animals and all kinds of stuff. He had food. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4, he had 10,000 people working for him in his palace. Every day he needed 100 barrels, 150 barrels of fine flour, 300 bushels of meal, and 10 heads of stall of fed cattle, 100 sheep and goats and gazelles and poultry. Solomon had it all. 1 Kings 4:26, he had Cadillacs and Range Rovers and Bentleys, 12,000 horses, 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. Solomon even tried romance. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Lord have mercy. The Bible says he was wealthy. He owned it all. Real estate was his pride possession. He pursued pleasures. He partied and had a good time. He ruled all over the land of the west of the Euphrates, from Tishba to North Gaza. We are told that it went from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. All of the kings were subject to Solomon. And at the end of all of this stuff, at the end of all of this material, junk. At the end of his journey, Solomon speaks to the graduates in the 21st century, and he says, stuff doesn't mean a thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, and this will keep you during testing times. He said, it's all meaningless. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It's like vapor. It's meaningless. It's the pursuit of the hollow. How dare the world changers believe that he who dies with the most toys wins? In case you're thinking that the grass may be greener on the other side, we don't often get to hear the testimony of those who have it all. We don't get to hear of their sleepless nights and taking propofol just to get a good night's rest. We don't hear about their rehab struggles and their loneliness, even in crowds of people. For Solomon, earthly gifts became his idols. Pleasure became his prison. And his reputation as a king began to crumble. And the lesson also that we learn from Solomon is that folly wasn't in having the blessings. Folly was making the blessings his G-God, small G-God. We can't take it with us. At best, we have 70 down here. And if you live to be 70, praise God. If you live to be 80, anybody in here 80? Come on, don't be ashamed. That's a blessing. Anybody in here 90 years of age? We're all on borrowed time. Praise God for you. But that's it. The older I get, the more I understand. I've done a lot of funerals in my day. The older I understand that all flesh is as grass, as Solomon Daddy said. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Can I witness to you that the only thing that will last is what you do for Christ? Can I speak into your life for a moment? I have met people who had no needs. None. But they still had emptiness in their souls. So the acquisition of stuff, even worshiping organizationally idolatrous practices, is not God's desire. Why not make a guaranteed deposit where moth and rust and dust cannot corrupt? Why not invest in eternal things? Praise the Lord with me. If God had ever lied to me, I couldn't stand before you to open his word. But he has always kept his word. He's sweeter than Krispy Kreme donuts. He's surer than all of the banks put together here in Michigan. Our God is an awesome God. Can you say amen? And he wants to bless his children. What else do you have to say, Solomon? I'm going fast, but I'm going. Solomon testifies to us, secondly, that we must choose character every time without hesitation. I have the great privilege to do some seminars around the country, around our division, and what a privilege it is. It is a privilege and not a right. I just got to give you a quick commercial, graduates. Just because you have new letters behind your name doesn't always impress people that you're going to meet. And let me just tell you, your occupation should not define you or your faithfulness. Because when you lose your occupation, do you lose God? Choose character every time. I have the opportunity to ask the question, if you had two choices, which would you choose? Would you choose character or would you choose competence? And then there's a buzz in the room, and then I go on and say, well, if you want a treasurer, would you desire someone with competence or with character? And they say, well, Pastor, we want both. I say, well, you got to choose. And they wrestle with whether they want a treasurer who can't count or a treasurer who steals the money and can count. Can we say, i.e. Judas? He was the treasurer of the disciples till. And I read in Desire of Ages that Judas was dipping his hand in the offering for the disciples throughout the ministry of Christ. I would rather have a treasurer who can be taught to count, but who has a character and a heart for God, than someone who knows all of the numbers and is illegally practicing. We need character in the church. We need character in the world. We need character in leadership, from the White House to the outhouse. We need character. Can you say amen? The lesson is that we often are attracted to the shiny competent. Solomon's misery wasn't from lacking things. It was from lacking in his satisfaction that God alone was good enough. And it happens like this. It happens through the erosion process. Not all at once, not big bang, But vanity stealthily creeps up on us and it quietly drowns out our discernment. And it creeps into our conduct and our costumes and our amusement and our appearance and our pride and our pleasure. Extravagance becomes a euphemism for emptiness. Spoiled affections lead to spiritual emptiness. And it's not always a public parade, but it's a slow corrosion as possessions replace purpose and decoration devours dignity. The danger lies in not having, but in hoping that stuff will heal my heart and fill the void and the emptiness. Under Solomon's robe, his kingly robes, lay a restlessness unrelenting. He built cities that sparkled, gardens that bloomed, altars that burned, but none could still the ache in his heart. None of us are immune from the drift this morning. You can be with the Lord, but we don't believe in once saved, always saved. Every day is my battle of Armageddon. Every day I need new graces. Every day he's faithful, so I can praise God that he's with me. He's on my side. You can have the enemy to come in like a flood, but if God is there, he'll raise up a standard against him. No one is immune from the drift. Let's read this quote together from Prophets and Kings, page 54 and 55. Wealth, can you read it with me on the screen? Wealth, with all of its attendant temptations. Come on, students, you're graduating. Come on, I know you can read. Came in Solomon's day to an increasingly... Solomon's apostasy, that before he was aware of it, he had wandered far from God. Almost imperceptibly, he began to trust less and less in divine guidance and blessings, and to put confidence in his engrossed in an over. The king overlooked the need of acquiring beauty and perfection of character. Glossy looks good to the world. Shiny stuff attracts. But it didn't keep the three Hebrew boys when they threw them in the fiery furnace. It didn't give Esther the fortitude to straighten her back in the presence of the king, to tell him the truth about what was going on with her people. Folly was not a witness at the den that they threw Daniel down in when the lions' mouths were shut. Only what you do for Christ will last. Vanity walks hand in hand with pride. And where pride resides, truth takes a leave. Solomon lamented not just riches wasted, but righteousness withered. Lastly, today, in order to live a life with no regrets, I want to say that we should pursue, as we heard from Solomon, the will of the Lord through a life of service. Can you say amen? Amen? The goal in life is not to be selfish and to have it all for me, myself, and I. The goal in life that God gives every breathing human being is to love him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. and to serve someone else. We can learn from Israel, who didn't share Abraham's faith, but they mummified his faith. And we can stay safe and sanctimoniously aloof from what's going on around us, but things are happening while we sleep. COVID taught us that the world can change overnight. And men and rulers with pens can change your life and impact things that you have no idea about. Ecclesiastes reads like a ledger of regret. The word vanity is used some 38 times as it echoes through life's fleetingness. When detached from divine purpose, Solomon, his sigh lingers inside the chambers of Ecclesiastes. Listen to his whisper. He's choked out by his own crown. The weary whisper of a king who's haunted not by hardship, but by hollow pleasures. Let's learn from Solomon. His life was not wrecked with war, but it was wasted in want, wanting more things, wanting to pursue more. And that's just like lust instead of love. Lust pursues and it conquers and it never is satisfied. But God's love, it fulfills. It's not boasting itself up. It lasts forever. Everything he touched turned to gold, but the gold turned to dust in his hands. Tell us, Solomon. In 11 words and 45 letters, tell us, what's the sum of it all? I live on a hill, I drive a nice car, I have bank account numbers with commas in them. By the way, I began in ministry, y'all don't understand this. I began in ministry when they were given checks with no commas. You'll get that tomorrow. And here Solomon is. He's regretting. He needs to go back and change the way things were, but he can't. And even though Solomon apostatized, I'm so glad God didn't leave him. Can I help somebody today? No matter how far you go, no matter how stony your heart may be, God is a chaser of your soul. And he will not leave you alone until you either surrender fully to him or the enemy of your soul who wants to take you out. Solomon, what is your testimony? My testimony, Ivan, is this. Love God, respect the Lord, follow his commands. This is your whole duty in life. Put me first and I will bless you and I will give you wisdom and I'll give you understanding and then I'll throw some things on top of it, Solomon. His hard earned won wisdom speaks to us today as we graduate on in the year 2025. And as I wrap this message up, I want you to know, despite his indulgences, Solomon's anchor, which was his treatise to return to the God who blessed him, was to remember from whence he's come. Can I help somebody today? You believe in your country more than you believe in your God. We better stop looking horizontally. Graduates, look up. From whence cometh our help? Our help comes from the Lord. Even in apostasy, God never abandoned him. And despite his indulgences, he returned to God. And now Solomon understands he's not seeking gowns of gold, but garments of grace. He does not delight in photos, selfies. That's all right. I'll take some with you after the service. But he simply delights in God's grace. Today, if you're wrapped up in a splendor of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been, remember Solomon. He lived a life of regrets, but you don't have to live a life of regret. And Solomon can summon you into his classroom of living and challenge you to understand that only in God is the soul's thirst quenched. Friend, Ecclesiastes ends with a whisper of hope. Stop looking in the wrong places when the answer is right in us and with us. His Spirit will lead us and guide us. We are not gods. He's God, and he's sovereign all by himself. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence and his glory, with exceeding joy. Somebody ought to have some joy today. Amen. To the only wise God be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. No matter how far you've gone or how fast you go, no matter how high you will get, no matter how low you go, life is a journey fueled by the heart where the road to reality is just a start. So first, trust in him and don't lean unto your own understanding. Make the right choices. Step up and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a new parent. I don't know how to be a student. I'm just a child. Because everything that we go through in life has a destination. And as long as you live for him and give him your day, your hour, your minute, and your breath, you can live life with gusto. Can I promise you this? If you fear God and keep his commandments, you will never have another regret. God bless you.